This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird.
As well as some random bullshit on occasion.
As well as a lot of random bullshit every occasion.
Yes. I'm Rachel.
I'm Madeline.
Ew, that's the first time I did it backwards. Do it again. Say your
name. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
Everything's fine in the world. Oh my god. I've been spending 45 minutes on Facebook trying to figure out how to look at who I have blocked, and I can't do it. I can't find it.
Why?
Because I'm trying to unblock my brother. Oh. Yes. Mm-hmm. So anyway, proceeding. Anyway. It's not relevant. That's what I'm... I am...
Anyway.
Before... Let me just say, I am getting over COVID, and I just recorded a very long episode, and I can barely talk and stop coughing. So if you don't hear me as much, just... It's... We're just trying to get through it, okay?
We're just surviving.
We're doing our best. Surviving, not thriving.
Today's strain is called... Chem chills, because you're about to get some chills.
I will
over these
chills.
Spooky stories.
Over these spooky stories. That's cute. What a cute little, good job.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah, good job.
It's a hybrid cross of GMO crossed with chills, chem chills. Chills, chem chills. You know, if you didn't hear me the first time. It's a collaboration of two kind of like new strains to the scene. GMO, which is garlic cookies or GMO cookies, is a pretty, like, big favorite for indica lovers, anyone who wants more mellow, relaxing effect. And
me.
The chill side is a combination of the strains Freezer Burn and Pakistani Citral Kush. Oh. I don't know if I said that correctly, but I think it is.
I feel like you did your best, and I feel like that's good.
It has a very skunky smell with, like, a kind of cookie, earthy, sweet scent. And people say it's good for treating anxiety, pain, and insomnia.
I mean,
so
I'll take it.
I'm gonna just go ahead and...
I just gotta go ahead and remember a time that my lungs could handle smoking weed.
And we proceed.
Proceed.
Oh
god. Oh, that was... Okay.
Okay.
I
apologize to everyone in the vehicles. So today we're going to talk about, this is a recommendation from a friend of mine who listens to the podcast, and it is haunted, like, children's games.
Oh, that's a cool concept.
So I'm just going to talk about a couple of different ones and, like, their background. The first one being everyone's favorite, Bloody Mary. Which, if anyone is a any of the listeners are a fan of American Horror Stories,
so I didn't see what I am now.
The season wasn't great.
Okay, I liked the season, but I did not like the funeral home one. That was too much for me.
Oh my god,
that was too much for me.
That was crazy.
That one was too much for me. I was like
being buried. Oh,
just the whole thing.
It was weird. Anyway, well, the Bloody Mary episode.
I did watch that one. Okay, I was making sure. Yes, I did.
Yep.
So, yes, that is a children's game, technically, yeah.
So, it's a game everyone played at one point. You know, you and a group of friends go into a bathroom, you lock the door, you turn off the lights, get real weird with it, and then you chant Bloody Mary 3 times while spinning in front of the mirror, you know, as people do. Now, the brave ones would go alone, and purpose of it is to lure out the spirit of Bloody Mary.
I wish that bitch would come take me. Please. I'm ready. Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
Legend.
I was mirror right in that mirror.
I'm scared.
I literally
am scared now.
I messed the fuck up. She's calling my brother a bitch.
So legend has it that she would come out of the mirror absolutely furious because you called upon her.
Oh.
And she would do a number of things ranging from just screaming to stealing your soul to drinking your blood and clawing your eyes out.
So just depending on her death. So yeah. She was a July Cancer as well as me. Okay. Got it.
It's the eyes for me.
It's the sucking out your soul for me.
Yeah. And that wasn't always how the game was played, and it wasn't always called Bloody Mary. It actually used to be a way for unmarried women to see the face of their future husband.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Like a similar, like, chant. So they would walk backwards up a flight of stairs while holding a candle and a mirror, and while they gazed in the mirror, they would apparently see the face of their future husband.
No, what is happening is they all fell on the steps and were concussed.
Correct.
What do you mean? Well, I can barely walk straightwards up a flight of stairs. You mean backwards?
But if she saw a skull instead, the face of the Grim Reaper, it meant that she was going to die before she got married.
Oh, well, I'm already married, so.
Mm-hmm. So, a lot of people believe that the story of Bloody Mary originated from the English Queen Mary the First, who was also called Bloody Mary. She
That's kind of lit.
Mm-hmm. She was only the only child of King Henry the Eighth and Catherine of Aragon.
Mm-hmm.
Her father was mad due to lack of male heir, and basically, they say voided his marriage to the queen and forbade her from ever seeing her mother again. The king at that time then married Anne Boleyn, who gave him another daughter, Elizabeth. Boleyn was worried that Mary would interfere with Elizabeth's succession and had Parliament declare her illegitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was beheaded by the king for treason.
Did you ever see the other Boleyn sister?
No.
So it's a movie about Henry VIII, mm-hmm. and literally he is married to this queen from Spain, goes, picks up these two sisters from a farm, and he's like, I want to fuck that one.
Oh.
And she's like, no. So then he marries and, like, fucks the other sister, and then the other sister keeps trying to, like, seduce him, but, like, doesn't put out, and then the girl he's actually in love with has a baby boy, and then right as she gives birth to the baby boy, the skank sister, no offense, is like, okay, you can have some vagina. And then he dips out on his son, hooks up with this bitch. She tries over and over to have a baby in this movie and cannot produce. And then she tries to convince her brother to sleep with her to produce a baby so the king doesn't know she miscarried. And that's why she got beheaded in the movie.
Hmm.
I have no idea the historical legitimacy of that, but I found it very interesting.
Fascinating.
Scarlett Johansson's in it, guys. You see her titties.
Ooh.
And they are nice.
Titties be tittying.
Yeah.
Other people theorize that Bloody Mary is based on Elizabeth Bathory.
You did a whole episode on her. You better know how to say her name. Mary That's Worth. The Countess, yeah.
Mary Worth was a witch who was executed in the Salem Trials, nicknamed the Queen of Blood, and was convicted for murdering hundreds of young girls so that she could bathe in the blood.
Well, so. It's a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a choice she made.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe that an explanation for some of these potential hallucinations is that when you stare into a mirror in a dimly lit room for a very long time, it can essentially cause you to hallucinate. And facial features appear to melt, distort, disappear, rotate, and give other hallucinatory elements, such as strange faces may appear in your eyesight. And a man named Giovanni Caputo at the University of Urbino writes about this phenomenon, which he calls the strange face illusion.
And I want to try it, like staring in one for a long time and see if I...
They say it's a consequence of dissociative identity effect, which causes the brain's facial recognition system to misfire. And it's pretty much unidentified as to why this happens, but...
I mean...
That's... The it theory sense, is that maybe though, because... they are seeing something, but also maybe they're just...
So I don't know if
wishing
you
it into reality.
Know this about me.
Mm-hmm.
Because amongst all my other medical concerns, I don't really talk about it. But because of all the trauma I had as a child, I dissociate really badly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't dissociate, like, splitting personalities or, like, forgetting, like... But essentially, it's like I will be talking to you and all of a sudden it's like, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do. and I know you're my friend, and I know I'm okay, but I don't know. It's like I mm-hmm. just woke up in my life mm-hmm. for the first time ever, ever in my entire life, about a month ago. It happened to me at work, looking in the mirror at myself. I was washing my hands, and all of a sudden, I, like, was struck with it, and I didn't recognize myself in the mirror, and I was so scared. And I was like, that's you. But as I watched my mouth move in the mirror, it, like, made it worse, and ooh. I didn't recognize myself.
Oh, I don't like
and
that.
And it lasted for, like, 5 minutes. It was horrible. And so anybody who has that issue where you maybe don't know what's wrong with you or you just ever feel that way, it's a form of dissociation. It's also sometimes referred to as non-epileptic seizures.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not, like, as severe as it sounds. It's just, like, your brain basically, like, is, like, yeah, that's it. But I thought that was interesting because it
is.
Applies to, like, the mirror. Like, I was looking at myself mm-hmm. and, like, all of a sudden got, like, this like, very weird. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. And that makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
Proceed. Yep. My consent to move forward.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next one is called Baby Blue Eyes, which I actually hadn't heard about, but apparently it's a thing.
I've never heard of that either.
They say that it was a baby born into a world by a psychotic mother. He was destined to be the child of legend. Nobody knows his real name, but only that his mother killed him with a piece of shattered mirror.
Okay.
Okay. So, not unlike the Bloody Mary situation, it's usually, the game usually takes place in a bathroom, and a mirror is needed.
I mean, I guess if you're going to stab somebody with it.
Yeah. So you enter the bathroom, you're supposed to fog up the mirror. So like breathe on it, put hot water on, something like that. And then you're supposed to write baby blue on the mirror. Then you turn off the light. Once you've waited for about like a minute, you hold out your arms as if you were carrying a baby. And then supposedly you'll feel the weight of a baby in your arms.
I might do that.
I'm spooked.
Because let me tell you something. I'm trying to work on these guns.
If there's multiple people involved, you keep him held safe, and after a while, you pass him to the friend next to you. Don't drop him, because if you do, you'll get a scratch. Like, oh. You don't like it.
Okay. And well, I wouldn't like to be dropped on the floor either, but what do I know?
If you pick him up and drop him any more times than that, the last thing you'll ever see is a mirror shattering in front of you.
That doesn't sound that bad. There are worse ways to go. I've reached a point of mental unwellness that none of this sounds concerning to me. I'm like, I could go any of these ways.
There's a second version of the legend where you go into the bathroom with the lights already turned off, stand in front of the mirror, say the words, blue baby, 13 times. Blue baby, blue baby.
I would get so tongue-tied.
I know. Whilst reciting these words and rocking your arms back and forth as if you were holding a baby, after your 13th chant, blue baby, a baby will appear in your arms and give you a little scratch. At this point, I suggest you drop the baby and run, because not long behind him is his aforementioned psychotic mother. She will scream at you from the mirror, give me back my baby.
Why? You can kill it? No, bitch.
And attempt to have you meet the same fate as your little
child. I'm going to attempt to let her know I'll be calling Child Protective Services on her dumbass. Also, the reason your arms feel heavy, as I just demonstrated, is because when you rock them back as if you're holding a baby for 13 plus seconds, they get
blue
heavy.
Blue baby, blue
they're
baby,
heavy.
Blue
heavy.
Baby. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's just what happens.
Debunking. People believe that it's actually Bloody Mary, the psychotic mother.
Ooh, that would make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, she is fucking batshit, so
it tracks.
The Bloody Mary episode actually wasn't bad on American Horror Stories. That wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was weird.
But I didn't like the American Horror Story, like the main storyline this season.
What was it?
That was the one with like the coastal town in the wintertime with the writer.
Never saw it.
Honestly,
never saw it.
Like, spoiler alert, I did not like how they did the mom in that. Like, it did not feel good. And several people said that, like, at my new job too. They're like, yeah, it was kind of ew.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. So sorry.
This
cup matches my phone case. Oh, stop. Wow, you guys, nice. I have the most specific phone. It's the same brand.
Wow.
No, it's not. Okay, I have the most specific phone case from Target. It's like white with these like jagged speckles. They look like little speckle stones in different mm-hmm. colors. And I just got a cup with water and it's got the same pattern.
Aww.
That's all. I promise that's all. Let that hit your soul.
The next one is Ring Around the Rosie.
Ew, this one's gross.
So, nursery rhymes, short lyrics that, you know, the purpose is to be read to or sung by children, go back as far as the 14th century, usually in, like, old folklore texts. However, later books were published which focused on accumulating various styles of nursery rhymes, and as decades passed, a handful of these songs survived until the modern ages, and still are said by children to this day. One of the most famous being Ring Around the Rosie, which is said to have developed in London during the 16th century. And as we all know, Ring Around the Rosie, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Crocked. Isn't this about, like, the fucking, like, bubonic plague or some shit?
So, they say that at this time, Europe was suffering from the bubonic plague. And it caused many to speculate that the rhyme was constructed from the point of view of children during that time. And Ring Around the Rosie is thought to describe the scarlet rashes that would appear on anyone infected with the plague. And Pockets Full of Posies is either supposed to be a good luck charm, because posies were supposedly lucky, or it was supposed to prevent one from contracting the plague. And also people say that the smell of flowers, like, people would have dried flowers and shit because it just stank.
So yes, that actually, I did some research on, like, a bunch of Victorian era, like, phrases, like, mm-hmm. don't throw the baby out with the bathwater actually comes from the fact that they would have one bathtub and it went from father, mother, oldest son, like, all the way down. So the baby, by the time they got in the bath, it was like black water. Ew. So they said, when you toss the bath water, make sure the baby's not in it.
Ah.
So Ring Around the Rosie, sorry to stay on track, the reason that the month of June is why, like, they would get married most often is because they would want the flowers to hide the smell, because they only bathed, like, in May. And then, like, so in June, they would want the flowers to hide the smell. I was like, ew. That just really stuck in my head forever, clearly.
But then, so it's either ashes or ashes or achoo, apparently. So there's two versions. So people were thinking that sneezing is a symptom of the plague, or the fact that London often cremated their dead due to the large number of corpses that they had on hand. So they would just ashes then.
Yeah.
And
it's like, don't be scared, we all fall down, like, we all die.
Yeah, we all fall down. The certainty of death that many children accepted at that time.
Yeah. Like, so, are you gonna die next week or the week after?
So, yeah, I mean, basically there are older versions of the rhyme, but pretty much, like, the last 100 years, it's not changed, at least so they say. And even if we accept the modern lyrics do indeed refer to the plague, it obviously does a very simple and terrible job of describing the actual horrible pandemic that they live through. Now we're in pandemic.
What are we bringing around the COVID now?
Ring around the COVID.
Honestly, it's just like,
I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people in the Middle Ages definitely carried around flowers, spices, any other fragrant substances to ward off the bad air. And it was thought, that the bad air was thought to spread the disease even further. The fact that earlier versions of the song referred to pots or laps full of posies makes it, like, a tenuous connection, but I don't know.
In case you guys can hear it, because I can hear it, Sean is watching Bohemian Rhapsody in Maddie's living room at the volume that only a deaf-ass middle-aged white man would need.
Yeah, correct.
I love him, but swear to God.
Also, people question this theory because the Ring of Roses, I can't speak, Ring Around the Rosie, thinking that it referred to, like, a ring-shaped rash, it was actually a really rare symptom of the plague. It was not a normal symptom, nor was sneezing, necessarily. I'm pretty sure they just, like, absolutely shat themselves to death.
I feel like Ring Around the Rosie,
it's more, like, coughing and sneezing are more common for the pneumonic plague.
I feel like it, I also feel like I heard a theory, or, like, a story that Ring Around the Rosie was pertaining to wore. So ring around the rosy, they would put like, I think they would put things like around trees, like ribbons and stuff, pocket full of posies to throw at the caskets and stuff. Ashes, ashes, we all, but I only heard that once and like in passing.
But then I read that plague victims actually weren't cremated. They were always buried. Because the Catholic Church considered cremate, well, the Catholic Church considered cremation sacrilegious because it denied the Christian doctrine of the resurrection of the dead.
The Christian doctrine says from the earth we are born into the ashes we should return.
Well, there you go.
So somebody needs to read their fucking Bible before they make one more claim. No, because I'm just so sick of people being like, abortions are bad. Let me remind you that God said if you cheated on your husband, you were to go to the priest and he will give you a liquid. And you know what that liquid does? Abort your baby, bitch. Jesus has been working babies since 10,000 BC.
Yeah, I bet he has.
I'm sorry.
Apparently the first modern cremation in Britain didn't take place until 1888. Who knows if that's true. Like, formal cremation.
I just don't understand people getting so, like, up in arms over stupid shit. It's like, you know what? Let's just contaminate all of our earth instead.
But the Catholic Church had it banned until 1963.
Stupid.
Yeah, a lot of people say that ring around the rosy basically doesn't have any literal meaning at all. It's just kind of, like, made up. But we hate ambiguity and randomness, so people always want to try and, like, create meaning, even if there is none.
I mean, that's me. I have to do it.
And despite a lot of people debunking the theory that it's based on the plague, it's pretty much, persisted. Like, that's the number one thing people think of.
I mean, either way, listen to the words. It's fucking creepy. Yeah. No matter what it's referring to, it's nothing good.
It ain't good.
These kids are like, oh, we're gonna die next week. Let's make a lullaby.
So.
Can't breathe.
That's that.
Okay. What's next? Oh, I just read her notes, guys. I'm excited.
So. The next one. The infamous. Ouija board.
Ouija board. Jeremy and I. So, Sean has a really good friend named Jeremy. And he and I were both fucking absolutely hammered one time and dead-ass convinced that Ouija board was a Q and not an O. Like, we were ready to fucking...
Ouija board.
We were ready to risk it all. And Sean, dead-ass, was like, so it's Ouija? Is it Ouija board?
Okay, well, he said Joseph.
Joseph. Guys, please, if you do like stand-up comedy at all, what is his name? I just blanked.
Oh, I don't know.
Joe Coy.
Oh,
yeah. He's dating Chelsea Handler.
So funny.
Can you imagine that fucking household?
No.
Probably glorious. They probably had the best, funniest time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, his biggest thing is always making fun of his Filipino mom and, like, her accent. And so whenever he's, like, her talking to him, he's always like, Joseph. What do you need, Joseph? And I love it.
But literally once Sean thought my dog's name was Joseph.
And his name was Colby.
Colby.
And I was like, it's going to go Colby to Joseph to Joseph.
Joseph. Okay. Anyway.
You're welcome.
So, the Ouija board. In February 1891, the first few advertisements started to appear in papers, which is usually titled Ouija, the Wonderful Talking Board. That's one way to describe it.
The board's not talking, servers. It's the demons.
A Pittsburgh toy and novelty shop had, you know, an article in 1891 describing this magical new device, answered questions about the past, present, and future with marvelous accuracy, quote, and promised, quote, never failing amusement and recreation for all classes.
Okay.
A link between the known and unknown, the material and immaterial, and then another advertisement in New York, in a New York newspaper declared it interesting and mysterious, and testified as proven at patent office before it was allowed. Price $150.
Price one, like $1.50?
Yeah.
What a time to be a fucking alive. Mm-hmm.
So, the board, basically, what's sold in, like, the board game aisles today is obviously a flat board with the letters of the alphabet arrayed in two semicircles above the numbers 0 through 9. Then there's the words yes and no in the uppermost corners, goodbye at the bottom. Thank you. Goodbye. Good Thank day. You. Next.
Thank you. Next.
Accompanied by a planchette, a teardrop-shaped device, usually with a small window in the body, used to maneuver around the board.
I said good day.
The idea is that two or more people sit around the board and place their fingertips, two fingertips usually, on the device, ask a question, and then watch as the planchette moved from letter to letter, spelling out the answers, seemingly of its own accord.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Okay.
That was rude. The biggest difference is in the materials. The board is now usually cardboard rather than wood.
Damn, they were wood like Jumanji mm-hmm. saw?
Oh, yeah. And then the planchette's like a little piece of plastic these days.
Demon's getting cheap up in here.
They really are. The real history of the Ouija board is pretty much just as mysterious as how the game works. There's a historian, Robert Mersch, who's been researching the board since 1992. And when he started his research, he said that no one really knew anything about the origin, which he found very strange.
That is weird.
It was fucking 1992. And he said, quote, "For such an iconic thing that strikes both fear and wonder in American culture, how can no one know where it came from?"
That is really fucking weird.
Yeah. So, essentially, it came straight out of American 19th century obsession with spiritualism and the belief that the dead are able to communicate with the living, obviously. Spiritualism, which had been around in, like, Europe for many years, hit America in, like, basically 1848. And the sudden prominence of the Fox sisters in upstate New York, who the Foxes claimed to receive messages from spirits who rapped on the walls in answer to questions, recreating this feat of channeling in parlors across the state. So that's what the Ouija board was offering.
I just find it super creepy that he's like, surely there should be an origin. And, like, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, ooh, I don't like that. I've never, ever laid a single hand on one. Never once in my life.
I have a Ouija board pillow on the couch. But yeah, no, I haven't
either.
That's
disrespectful.
I know.
Well, go ask that bitch for the lottery number, his name.
So, along with the stories about these celebrity sisters and other spiritualists, in the new national press, spiritualism reached millions of adherents at the peak of the second half of the 19th century. So, spiritualism worked for Americans. It was compatible with Christian dogma, meaning one could hold a seance on Saturday night and then still go to church the next day.
I mean, vibe. Vibe. It's like devil on Saturday, Jesus on Sunday.
I mean, you gotta repent those sins.
Yes, you've been working.
It was an acceptable, even wholesome activity to contact the spirits at seances, although automatic writing or table turning parties in which participants would place their hands on a small table and it would begin to shake and rattle while they all declared that they weren't moving it, similar to the Ouija board.
Bunch of petty-ass liars.
The movement also offered solace in an era where the average lifespan was pretty much, like, 50.
Oh, so, like, they needed this to just, like, there was something beyond.
Women died in childbirth very often.
So, no different from fucking today.
Literally. Children died of disease, men died at war. You know.
Everybody's just dying.
They be dying out here.
They do be dying.
Even Mary Todd Lincoln, the wife of the president, obviously, conducted seances in the White House after their 11-year-old son died of fever in 1862.
Fun fact, I'm pretty sure their 11-year-old son was their second son named Phil.
Mm.
Like, I think they had multiple kids named Phil.
Mm.
I'll have to investigate
Phil
that one day.
Number two.
Yeah.
During the Civil War, spiritualism gained lots of attention, and people were desperate to connect with loved ones who'd gone away to war and never came home. So communicating with the dead was common, and it wasn't really seen as bizarre or weird. It's hard to imagine that now, looking back at it, like, basically, why were you opening the gates of hell? But here they were.
I need to see about this, because I know Abraham Lincoln had more kids than that.
I bet he did. In 1886, the fledgling Associated Press reported on a new phenomenon taking over the spiritualist camp in Ohio, which is the talking board. The Ouija board, basically.
The Ouija.
The article went far and wide, but it was Charles Kennard of Baltimore, Maryland.
Stop!
Who acted on it. And in 1890, he pulled together a group of four other investors, including Elijah Bond, a local attorney, and to start the Kennard Novelty Company to exclusively make and market these new talking boards.
So you're telling me that...
Mm-hmm. Baltimore,
Maryland,
mm-hmm.
has done something other than murder every citizen it has.
Yes, they marketed the Ouija board for a profit.
Because they were like, listen, what we'll do is we'll murder everyone, and then you could talk to them
mm-hmm.
after they go.
There you go. You're welcome. None of them were spiritualists, but they were all keen businessmen, and they had identified a niche.
I hate.
Yeah.
Where's our niche?
Where's our niche?
Where the fuck is she?
Where the fuck
are you, niche?
But they didn't have the Ouija board yet, so the Kennard Talking Board did not have a name at that point, and contrary to popular belief, Ouija is not a combination for the French oui and the German ja.
It's not?
It's not. Supposedly not.
I just had to text Sean and be like, can you turn that fucking movie down? Damn, all I can hear is Freddie Mercury.
Apparently they were all sitting around the table and they asked the board what they should call it, and the name Ouija came through. So when they asked what that meant, the board said, good luck. Very eerie and cryptic. So,
I feel like that board was like, you're all jackasses. Here you go.
Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck.
But yeah, that's the story that emerged from the Ouija founder's letters. And it's very possible that the woman in the locket was, I missed a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But for the fact that Peters acknowledged that she was wearing a locket bearing the picture of a woman, the name Ouija above her head. Weird. Okay. The woman in the locket was a famous author and popular women's activist, Ouida, whom Peters admired, and that Ouija was just a misreading of that.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. So that's where Ouija came from.
So there's nothing cool there.
No.
Nothing to see here, folks. Nothing. Keep going.
Keep moving. Knowing that they couldn't prove that the board worked, or if they couldn't prove it, they basically wouldn't get a patent for it, they brought Peters to the patent office in Washington with him when he filed the application. There, the chief patent officer demanded a demonstration of the board, and if the board could accurately spell out his name, which was supposed to be unknown to Bond and Peters, he'd allow the patent to go through.
What a time to be alive. Mm-hmm. How did you bring that toy over here? And if it can do a trick, you got it.
If it knows something you're not supposed to know, you got it.
We're ready.
So they all sat down, communed with the spirits, and the planchette spelled out his name perfectly. Whether or not it was mystical spirits, or the fact that Bond, as an attorney, might have just, you know, known this man's name.
God forbid.
It's unclear, for sure.
You're not going to research the person you're asking for a patent from.
It's very unclear.
To some, not to us. Not to us.
But on that day, February 10th, 1891, that patent officer, who was white-faced and visibly shaken, awarded them a patent for their new toy.
Not white-faced and visibly shaken.
I know.
I'm dead.
By 1892, the Kennard Novelty Company went from one factory in Baltimore to two in Baltimore, two in New York, two in Chicago, and one in London.
Hmm. So they were busy.
Mm-hmm. By 1893, Kennard and Bond were out owing to some internal pressures and basically money changing them, so they were out of the business. William Fuld, who had gotten in on the ground floor of the company as an employee and stockholder, was basically running the company at this point. And notably, Fuld is not and never claimed to be the investor of the board, even though his obituary declared him to be. He died in 1927 after a freak fall from the roof of his own factory. A factory he said the Ouija board told him to build.
The Ouija board was like, all right, I've had enough of your shit.
Yep.
Leap.
Go. In 1898, with the blessing of a major, the majority shareholder and one of only two remaining original investors, he licensed the exclusive rights to make the board. what followed was like a boom year for that, for Fold, and frustration for some of the men who had been in on the Ouija board from the beginning, but were not involved anymore. And in 1919, Bowie sold the remaining business interest in Ouija to Fold for $1.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. In the 1910s and 20s, with the devastation of World War I and the manic years of the Jazz Age, Prohibition, there was a huge surge in Ouija popularity. It was actually so normal that in May 1920, Norman Rockwell, illustrator of, you know, blissful 20th century domesticity, depicted a man and woman, Ouija board on their knees, communing with the beyond on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post.
Okay.
So, pretty norms.
It's just an average day.
During the Great Depression, the Fold Company opened two factories to meet demand for the boards. Oh, okay, there's an emergency taking place outside. The emergency is that she's dying.
Oh, God, fuck. Oh, oh Jesus Christ. Sorry, Lord. I mean,
oh, fuck, Jesus God. Christ.
Everything is wrong. Queegee.
We have a warning.
Queegee. You know?
Queegee. Queegee.
Oh, my throat's off right now. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, I'll take one more baby hit off that when you're done. Whatever this one is, I'm vibing. But like, I don't feel like I'm getting stupid like I usually do. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I did tell Maddie, I was like, I cannot smoke like heavy while I'm doing my episode because I'm sick of being a fucking idiot. So I only did a little poof.
Just a tiny poof.
Just a little poof. A poof. Thanks, Mom.
Welcome.
Always taking care of me. She just, like, packed it for me. She's like, here. Look at all the smoke still in here.
I know. Sorry. So, during the Great Depression, the Fold Company opened new factories to meet demand for the boards. Over 5 months in 1944, a single New York department store actually sold 50,000 of them.
Jesus.
Which is crazy.
People be communing. I look communing. Out all of these people... spend all this money in communication, you can't get a motherfucker to text you back once in today's world.
That's facts on stats.
You gotta okay. Literally die so I can communicate with you on the Ouija
literally.
Board.
Literally. A Ouija board!
I gotta tell Jeremy to listen to this episode. I wonder if he even remembers. Like, we were tore the fuck up.
Ouija board.
We were toe up. This was back, like, in the days of, like, it was just me, Sean, and his best friend Jeremy, so we were just, like...
absolutely Ouijing it up.
But I was the third wheel, or Sean was the third wheel, and that's the only way it went. So either Sean and Jeremy were having a love fest, or Jeremy and I were having a giggle fest, and that was it.
In 1967, the year after Parker Brothers bought the game from the Fold Company, 2 million boards were sold, outselling Monopoly.
Not outselling Monopoly. Mm-hmm. Have you played the... oh, and I don't want to say it on here, because it... never mind. It's a Monopoly, but, you know, they go by region, and I didn't want to give away too much information. Mm-hmm. So I stopped.
That same year... We saw more American troops in Vietnam. So the counterculture, Summer of Love vibe, race riots in New York, all of that led to a huge uptick in people buying the Ouija board game.
You know, like, has nobody stopped to evaluate that life is so fucking hard that an entire
genre
planet of people were like, you know what, we need to fucking escape this bullshit.
We need to seance.
Yeah, like grown ass people playing with this board game because they're like, I can't handle this universe.
I really can't. In 1921, the New York Times reported that a Chicago woman being sent to a psychiatric hospital, tried to explain to doctors that she was not suffering from mania, but that the Ouija spirits had told her to leave her mother's dead body in the living room for 15 days before burying her in the backyard.
You know, ma'am, I don't think it's fair to blame the Ouija board on this one.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a Ouija problem here.
No, this does not. This sounds like a another type of problem.
Mm-hmm. In 1930, the newspaper readers were thrilled to read the accounts of two women in Buffalo who murdered another woman, supposedly on the encouragement of the Ouija board.
They should just make the purge real.
Yeah.
It'll solve a lot of lies.
Then supposedly in 1941, a 21-year-old gas station attendant from New Jersey told the New York Times that he joined the army because the Ouija board told him to do so.
Okay.
In 1958, a Connecticut court decided not to honor the Ouija board will of Miss Helen Dow Peck, who left only $1,000 to two former servants and an insane $152,000 to Mr. John Gale Forbes, a lucky but bodiless spirit who had contacted her through the Ouija board.
So...
Mm-hmm. They did not honor her last will and testament.
Well, because you can't give your fucking money to a spirit. They live on a different plane. What do you mean? They're not spending your American dollars.
What do you mean?
That's like such an American thing. Like, these dollars, they're valuable even in your realm, bitch. No. I'm dead. I have more respect for a person who is $150,000 to their fucking cat. To, like, at least have his medical bills cared for and has a pristine life. A fucking ghost.
A ghost.
Okay.
So, obviously, scientists... Oh, excuse me, I skipped a whole paragraph. even within the paranormal community, Ouija boards enjoyed a pretty dodgy reputation. So, basically, when he first started speaking, this gentleman, Merck, started speaking at paranormal conventions, he was told to leave his boards at home because they scared people too much.
Okay.
Parker Brothers and later Hasbro, after they acquired Parker Brothers in 1991, still sold hundreds of thousands of them, but the reasons why people were buying them had kind of changed a lot. Basically, they were just spooky instead of spiritual, and there was just, it was just a little more exciting.
Yeah, now it's more like kids want to do it at slumber parties and shit.
Yeah. So scientists say that, obviously, it's not powered by spirits or even demons.
What a disappointment.
But even when we protest that we're not doing it, you know, people swear. Basically, it works on the principle known that it's called the ideometer effect, which is... automatic muscular movements that take place without the conscious will or violation of the individual.
So it's like,
so like when you cry, when you cry in reaction to seeing something really sad.
Yeah.
Almost immediately, other researchers saw applications of this effect in popular spiritualist pastimes. In 1853, chemist and physicist.
Oh, okay. A psychophist.
Michael Faraday, intrigued by table turning, conducted a series of experiments that proved to him that the table's motion was due to the ideometer actions of the participants.
I mean, that sounds like a worthwhile thing to research.
So, with Ouija, not only does the individual give up some conscious control to participate, can't be me, but in a group, no one person can take credit for the movement, making it seem like the answers must be coming from another worldly source.
You know what? Maybe I'll try one day. I don't know why. That's always been a superstitious thing that I'm like, you know, Rachel, don't fuck with that. You don't need that negativity. I'm like, you don't need it.
Yeah, it's usually just people wanting to believe that it's happening, so they do.
I'm like, I do not need to open another fucking Pandora's box.
It's just not worth it.
No.
Really.
Like, I don't need to do that. I'm not gaining anything from it. Just stay where you are on the shelf.
You're done.
Are you done?
I am done. Honestly.
Okay.
That was the last one. The Ouija board.
Did you know the tarot cards were actually originated in Europe as a playing card game?
I do believe that.
I feel like I did an episode and I probably forgot.
No, but you should.
I probably will, actually. Did you know that I found out that biologically, like, my dad's family is from Sicily, so this is a very quick story, I promise.
Sicilian!
The name that I should have had biologically, last name, Montalbano. When my family came from Sicily, they adopted the name Finferra for fear of persecution of the white man. You know, they were like, no. And my mom always told me that, and I was like, sure, Nana, sure. turns out I started doing the ancestry stuff with my mom and looking into Finferra. The last name Finferra does not have a point of origin. It is only known to have believed to have been started somewhere in the United States. So it does confirm, and that's why half of my family on that side has Montalbano and half has Finferra. What were we talking about before this? Because I forgot high and I don't know where I was going with this.
I don't know.
The Ouija board?
The Ouija board.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That story is completely irrelevant without the context.
I mean, I was wondering where you were going with it, but I was going.
But I had a point. I had a point.
Did you?
We were talking about... I don't fucking know.
Ouija boards.
How did I get on that? Guys, I'm sorry. Just fucking forget it. If I remember, I'll do a TikTok. Honestly, I'm pretty sure we have more followers on TikTok than Instagram. We have like 200 on TikTok.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maddie doesn't know because she doesn't go on the TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let me pull it
up. I'm on the TikTok, just not our TikTok.
You're on the TikTok. You just don't give a fuck about our TikTok. Our TikTok is literally my pets. So. A Nikki cat. Okay. So we currently have 201 followers and 548 total likes.
Sick.
Unfortunately, our highest viewed video is the one of Sean.
Not Sean.
Windsurfing with his little like tech deck surfboard out the window on the way to Florida. I'm like, a fucking course. And then ones with, like, creature. But, yeah, our TikTok, if I can recall what the fuck I was thinking, I'll put that on there.
All right. Well.
Maybe because we were talking about the origin story of the Ouija board, nobody knew where it was, and it reminded me that there's no origin to my maiden name, Finferra.
There it is.
That's what I'm going to go with. Yeah, feels good.
There's the connection.
Okay, well, I've embarrassed myself, so goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ow, fuck.
Bye.